the elf Lee. My name's Lillian. I'm an elf. Yeah, I know. 3 times 5, whatever. 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 It's only money. Lillian. That girl's racking it up, man. Boy, I'm telling you. That should only be one incident. Should only be one incident. Amen? Nope. Well, good to see each and every one of you tonight. Looks like a better crowd than what we had last Wednesday night. Did we have bad weather last Wednesday? I cannot remember. I cannot remember. Visitors, good to have you folks back there. And Gene, good to have you with us tonight. Is that Holly or Hope?
Holly.
All right, Holly. Good to see you in the house tonight, Miss Holly. All right, amen. Good to see you two guys up in here. All right. Well, we've got a smorgasbord of ages. Amen. I mean, from the younger, all the way to the older. Amen. I was telling Brother Carr. I said, Brother Carr, don't be buying no green bananas. Amen. Brother Carr said, I don't buy ripe bananas either. All right. Very good. Very good. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's take them and turn to Genesis chapter 47. We'll begin reading in verse 7, but before we stand, I want to talk to you for just a little bit about this prayer thing that we're doing on Wednesday night after the Bible study. We'll again get into prayer groups, and I'll try to group you up and get you far enough away from each other. And those of you, when you're in the groups, if you feel like you just need to, you know, get as far away from the other groups as possible, you can use the choir loft. That's no problem. You can come up here on the front pew. I mean, we've got a sizable room here, so you can spread out. Don't feel like you have to stay where you're at to do that. But my vision for this prayer time is that it truly be a prayer time. You know what I mean? Not a visitation time. Not a time to talk about the day's politics, unless you're going to pray for politicians, and there's a lot you can pray for, amen. And when we're sharing prayer needs, we don't need to, of course, get into almost a gossip session where we're sharing too many details. You understand? I mean, you know, if somebody's having marital problems, that's all we need to say. We don't have to go into any kind of great detail about what those problems are, right? If somebody's got financial problems, that's all we need to say. You know, health problems, if you want to get specific, but sometimes you can get too specific on the health problems, right? So just keep that in mind. But my vision for this, what's really burning on my heart, is a church that would get so on fire for a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And some of you can't do this, I know, because you're working and you're working out and it's a long drive for you to get up in here. But man, it would be incredible if we opened this sanctuary at 6 o'clock and people started coming to pray. So they were praying before the Bible study, and then we have the Bible study, and then some that weren't able to pray before, and maybe some that wanted that prayed before, they want to pray some more after. Amen? Friend, I want to tell you, you get that going, and that word gets out in the community, and you'll fill this building on Wednesday night. You will fill it on Wednesday night. You will fill this building up on Wednesday night. People will come to pray and then to hear preaching and then have an opportunity to pray again. We'll make another service out of it. We won't call it a Bible study any longer. I'll put on a suit and we'll just get to preaching, all right? But I'm telling you, if you will get here before the service and begin to pray, there will be a power in here that will change people's lives when the Word of God is preached. Amen? Y'all pray about that. That's another hour, see? We start at 7. right? We start at 7. So that's another hour of your day. That's another hour of your time. And that certainly is a sacrifice, I know, on a busy Wednesday for some of you. But something to just pray through, maybe pray about that in your prayer time. God's laid that on my heart for as we get into the new year. We will not be a discerning church if we're not a growing church. We will not be, and when I mean growing spiritually, we will not be growing spiritually if we're not praying. I mean, just bottom line, it ain't going to happen. Amen? So prayer has got to happen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 47. If you'll stand with me this evening, we'll begin reading here in verse 7, and we'll take it through verse 12. We'll only cover through verse 10, but we'll throw in verse 12. Verses 11 and 12, just to say we read them tonight. Genesis 47, beginning in verse 7. If you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
And Joseph, God's Word reads this, and Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. I found that very interesting when I read that and studied it. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? I mean, he must have looked pretty old, right? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. 130 years old. Amen? That makes Brother Bill Neal look young, don't it? Amen? 130 years old, right? But notice what he says. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And notice what he does again in verse 10. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Verse 11. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray that you would get a hold of your church, God, not my church, not their church. It's your church. Father God, we pray that you would get a hold of it, that you would put a burden, that you would put a burning, yearning, a desire to pray, Lord, like we've never prayed before as we enter this new year. Lord, may we have times of refreshing after times of prayer. May we have powerful preaching after times of prayer. May we have incredible services where people walk this aisle to get saved because of times of prayer. But Lord, let us not give lip service to this thing we call prayer. Lord, we say we believe it. If we say it, if we say we're thankful for it, we'll be practicing it. We'll be doing it. We'll be living it. Lord, as we come tonight and look at this passage, Lord, I pray that we would be found on the side of faith and not on the side of fear. So often when things come against us, so often when we are challenged, so often when we struggle, so often when we cause the hardship in our lives, we become fearful. Even when we're saved, even when we're blood-bought, Lord, we need to be faithful. Lord, help us get to that point. Help us confess the fear, the worry, the anxiety. And Lord, may we seek to live in the power of faith. Thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for saving us tonight. Thank you for dying on Calvary's cross. Thank you for coming and being born in a manger at First Advent. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. And may He add His tremendous blessing to it. As we close out the ministry phase of Joseph and get ready to look to His bounty, in that we gave you two verses of Joseph's bounty, chapter 47, that's going to be verses 11 through 26. That's going to take us, we get all the way to 26 of 47, that's going to take us all the way to the conclusion of the book. And I'll just, can I give you a little kind of a sneak peek on the conclusion of the book? The book began in a garden with creation. The book ends with a grave. It ends with a grave because of sin. Began in a garden, ends in a grave. Make sense to you? The thing that gets us over that and through that is the grace of God. Amen? The grace of God. as we think about this ministry phase finished out, we look at the last presentation of Joseph to Pharaoh. That is verses 7 through 10, the last presentation of Joseph to Pharaoh. What is Joseph going to bring to Pharaoh now? He's brought five. Remember, he brought five. He didn't bring all 11. He brought five of his brothers. He brought a selection of the election. Amen? Because these were faithful men. These were men of integrity. These are men that could get things done. These were men that would serve. These were men that would work. They were men that were ready for action. And they were the five that got chosen out of the 11 to be presented before Pharaoh. After Joseph brought these five brothers to Pharaoh, he then presents his father, Jacob. We're talking about a presentation. Two things about the presentation. Number one, it is an enlightening presentation. An enlightening. Jacob, this herdsman from this promised land in Canaan, right, has come to Pharaoh because his long-lost son Joseph is second in command in the land. He comes here to live, to not die in the promised land because there's such a great famine. Well, when he gets there, Jacob doesn't fall to his, he doesn't fall on his face. He doesn't bow like a servant. Jacob bestowed his blessing on Pharaoh. And Jacob not only blessed Pharaoh once, but verse 10 tells us that he blessed him how many times? He blessed him twice. Wow. Once when he came into Pharaoh, and once as he left Pharaoh. And so the big question is, what does this blessing tell us? The blessing tells us this. First of all, that Jacob was far greater, a far greater man, as sinful as old Jacob was a far greater man than his renowned grandfather Abraham. You know it? He was a greater man than Abraham. Remember Abraham? Abraham had been a curse to Pharaoh. Abraham had come to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, "That's not my wife, that's my..." Yeah. Wow. Abraham had been a curse to Pharaoh. Jacob was a blessing to Pharaoh. Is Jacob being pretentious here? I don't think so. He's not being pretentious at all in blessing Pharaoh because we see how he, in humility, in verse 9, confessed both his inferiority as compared with his forefathers and his inflictions. I mean, he's had some pains along the pilgrim way. Have you had some pains in your life? Well, this brother has had some pain along his pilgrim life. Well, not only is it an enlightening presentation, but it is an unequaled presentation. Unequaled how, Pastor? What do you mean, unequaled presentation? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7 says this, "And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." The less is blessed of the better. To the astonishment of all the court of Pharaoh, to the astonishment of all the pomp and circumstance in that courtroom of Pharaoh, before that throne of Pharaoh, Jacob raises himself up straight instead of falling prostrate on his face. Instead of humbling himself, bowing before Pharaoh, he stands up. We see him in this passage raise his sunburned, oh, aged, weathered hand up in blessing. As he blesses Pharaoh, and we hear the benediction fall from his lips. It must have been amazing. Amen? Here is the guy that his people thinks he is a god, and they worship him as such. And here is this old shepherd man come in, and we see him bless him. Not only once, but how many times? Twice. So in blessing Pharaoh, Jacob was saying, this is what Jacob was saying, "You, my Lord, you, this Pharaoh, may be a prince among men, and you may have power on the earth, but I am a prince with God and have power in heaven. Therefore, I bless you, Pharaoh, in the name of my God." Amen? What a lesson for us as we look at these few verses tonight. And the question is simply this. Are we being a blessing? Are we being a blessing to our spouse? Are we being a blessing to our kids? When we come into the presence of people, our co-workers, our church family, our extended family as we get together on Christmas? Are we being a blessing? Do we bring them a blessing from God? Or are we going to let them pull us into the sinful behavior that they want to participate in? I mean, what are we bringing them a blessing from God? When we leave, do we leave a blessing behind? Are we princes with God? Or if you're a female, a princess, right? If we are, we ought to be doing what? We ought to be blessing folks. Amen. Well, that's not all I've got to say tonight. I've got to say one other thing about this passage. In between these two blessings, almost like a blessing sandwich here. I like sandwiches. Amen? Don't eat much bread anymore because of the carbohydrates and all those triglycerides. But so when I eat a sandwich, and when I think about a sandwich, it sounds good. Sandwiches are now dessert where cookies used to be. Amen? In between these two blessings, this blessing sandwich, can't get my mind off of it, is the most surprising feature of Pharaoh's interview with Jacob. The feature which piqued my interest is this. It's Jacob's appraisal of his life up to this point in time in verse 9. Look at it. Verse 8 says, "And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Look what he says about him, though. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. What? That's what he says. And have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. In essence, Jacob told Pharaoh that his life has been short and sour. A short and soured life. That's not a very good case for Christianity, is it? I'm so miserable, but I want you to know that you need to be saved and be as miserable and be as unhappy and be as sour and evil as I am. That's not a good case for Christianity, is it? Right? The thrust of much evangelism today is that trusting Christ and following God makes your life happy. Makes your life free from trials and tribulation. I was talking to my son last night. Me and his mother were talking to him. And he's getting to that age where we're starting to think about, well, what is it that maybe you want to do for your life? You know, if you find your passion in life, you never have to work a day in your life. Amen? You know, if you start young and try to peck and figure that out, man, you're set up for a long time, right? And so I was telling my son, it's not about having financial wealth. It's not about being happy. It's about being holy, right? I said, you know, our goal for you kids is for you to be in church. That's our goal. For you to be in church and not just in a church, but working somewhere in it. Like full-time staff. No, not necessarily full-time staff. Serving in a church. Building the kingdom of God with a group of people. Making a contribution, amen, with your time and your efforts and your energy. And then everything else is just kind of a bonus. You know? You have a wife and a bunch of kids, okay. If you have a big house one day, all right. If you live in a house this size, fine. If you live in a house smaller, that's okay. Amen? But make a contribution, right? Praise the Lord for the testimony of Joseph. Joseph had made a contribution, had he not? For without Joseph's testimony, Pharaoh would have thought very poorly of the God of Israel. Man, Joseph's been telling me about this God, and I'm Pharaoh, and I'm supposed to be a God. And then I talk to the dad, and he's not very hip on God. So the question is, what Jacob said, was it true or was it false? I want you to think about his earthly beginnings. We're going to review his life just real quick before we close this out tonight. Jacob's earthly beginnings were prophetic of his life. Think these things through with me. He struggled with his brother Esau in the womb. Genesis 25. Before he even was born, he struggled. Genesis 25, 21 through 26. He lived in a home where the parents were divided in their affection for their children. Genesis 25, 28. He gained the blessing of his father by deception and then was alienated from his family because of the hatred of his brother Esau. Genesis chapter 27. He spent years in exile serving his deceitful uncle Laban. He thought he was deceptive until he met Uncle Laban, right? He made the bed and laid in it when he went to serve Uncle Laban. He sought one wife. That's what he sought. He sought one wife. He ended up with four. Genesis 29, 18 and following. And the outcome of his polygamy was continual competition and strife between the women. He finally fled from his uncle and eventually had to make a non-aggression pact, had to make a treaty with him lest further conflict arise. Chapter 31. He suffered the loss of the purity of his daughter Dinah. She was raped at Shechem. He feared the reprisal of the Canaanite kinsmen when his sons killed the men of the city and took the women and took the children and the cattle as their prize. Remember, he said, you guys want to be a part of us, you need to be circumcised. And on the third day of their soreness, they came in and routed them and slaughtered them, killed them, right? Genesis chapter 34. Rachel, his most beloved wife, died prematurely along the way to Bethlehem. Genesis 35, 16 through 19. His oldest son had physical relations with one of his concubines. Genesis 35, 22. And his favorite son was tragically lost and presumed dead, Joseph. Finally, there was the famine, which threatened the existence of his family, and the second in command to Pharaoh appeared to be taking even his youngest son away. Was Jacob correct in his evaluation of his life, or was he incorrect? Could Jacob be missing something? Could Jacob be missing something in his appraisal of his life? Think about his life for a moment. There was a significant difference. Jacob did suffer, amen? There was a significant difference between the suffering which Jacob alluded to and that which Joseph endured. Did Joseph suffer? Uh-huh. Joseph's suffering was undeserved. Amen? Jacob's was what he got, friend. Jacob suffered virtually every painful experience because of his willfulness and foolish choices in life. You ever been there? Some of you got the t-shirt. I think I've got one of those t-shirts. Wow. He deceived his brother, Jacob. He chose to live near Shechem rather than going to Bethel. God said go to Bethel. Well, let's just stay around Shechem for a while. What happened to Dinah? Yeah. He unwisely showed preference for Joseph. Unwisely, right? The suffering which Jacob experienced was due almost entirely to his sinful decisions and his responses. You know what Jacob missed in his appraisal of his life? Jacob did not see the hand of God in his adversity. But Joseph saw the hand of God in his adversity. That's the difference, church. Some of us have lived a rose petal covered life, and some of us have lived tragedy in life. But if we're both saved, isn't God both sovereign over our lives? Amen. Jacob did not see the hand of God in his adversity, but Joseph did see the hand of God. Let me tell you what happens when we don't see the hand of God. When we're saved and tragedy happens to us, and when we're saved and even we get away from God and we get backslidden and we get sinful and we get just plain spiritually stupid, let me tell you what happens to us we can become, just like Jacob became, we can become more fearful and more protective. That ain't what happened to Joseph. Joseph was more forgiving and eager to serve others, even at his own expense. Because he saw what? He saw God in his circumstances. Amen? In his adversity, Joseph grew closer to God, while Jacob seemed to drift farther and farther away from God. So why do you tell us all that tonight? I mean, what's the point of that, Pastor? Well, in this presentation by Joseph and interview with Pharaoh, all of these bitter experiences begin to come into focus. How do you know that? Because you have a broken man that blesses Pharaoh not once, but twice. The long ride from Canaan to Egypt has given time for this old man to think through some things. You know, the main thing in life, you think about the thief on the cross. You know, the thief on the cross got saved, didn't he? He lived his whole life missing God. But God orchestrated his salvation, put him in an opportunity to repent and receive Christ next to a crucified, dying Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Amen. It's just amazing when you think about Jacob's life. Jacob's life, see. Jacob was wrong, church, when he concluded in chapter 42, verse 36, the Word of God reads this, "And Jacob their father said unto them," Genesis 42, 36, "Me have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me," he said. Well, God wasn't against him at all. God was trying to save and preserve his family. Amen? Jacob was wrong when he concluded that all these things are against me. His fears did not conform to the facts. So where we're going to end it at tonight is this. This resettlement of Jacob in Egypt. This resettlement of Jacob in Egypt is the great turning point. Jacob's going to end right. It's the great turning. Jacob didn't begin right. He began struggling in the womb. And he struggled his whole life. He made poor choices. But God saw fit to save him. Amen? Let me tell you something about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They are friends of sinners. They love sinners. They love them. The resettlement of Jacob in Egypt is the great turning point of Jacob's life, where he finally catches up to Joseph, his son, in spirituality. Amen? We'll talk more about it next Wednesday night. Let's have a closing word of prayer and we'll get to our prayer groups this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that there's grace, grace upon grace, powerful saving grace, infinite grace, God. Lord, thank you that you bridged your wrath and your love for us with a cross. Thank you that you offer salvation to us. Thank you that we can be saved. Thank you that we can be a part of the ministry of reconciliation and share with other brothers and sisters, potentially, that they can be saved too. Oh God, may we get the word out. May we pray them in this evening. Lord, give these groups a powerful prayer time tonight. I pray that you speak through them in a mighty, mighty way. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, this is what we need to do here.